Welcome to Making the Magic, a new podcast talking about planning the perfect trip to the Disney and Universal parks around the world. This is our first proper episode of the series. We did have a bonus Christmas episode a couple of weeks ago. Hopefully you caught that, but if you haven't listened to it, click back and have a listen.
Each week we'll be talking about our experiences of the Disney and Universal theme parks around the world and how best to plan the perfect trip. We'll share lots of hints and tips to make sure you get the most out of your holiday.
So I'm Amanda.
And I'm Martin.
We're both travel agents and we specialise in booking Disney and Universal holidays. We've also visited the Disney and Universal parks ourselves, well, quite a lot of times, haven't we?
I could tell you, if I really thought about it, how many times I've been to Orlando, but I'd have to probably sit down with a pen and paper.
I know, it's when you've lost count, you've probably been too many times, haven't you? I was talking to somebody the other day and saying the first time I've been to Disney World, and yeah, I'm not sure I should admit it because it makes me sound even older than I am, but I think it was way, way back in 1979. I was a child. I'm not that old. Really dream holiday with my parents. I'd grown up with Disney, been watched all the Disney films, and it really was a trip of a lifetime. Seeing the castle in the Magic Kingdom, I can really remember it very clearly.
So you must have seen hundreds of changes over the years.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I went then, so that was, 1979, had quite a big gap, and then went in 1992 for my honeymoon. My poor new husband, who had never been to Disney, didn't really have any interest in Disney, stayed in the very cheapest motel on International Drive, did Disney, Universal, and had an amazing time.
To me, that sounds like a great honeymoon.
Yeah, well, I think got us both hooked. We've been lots of times since then. So been on big extended family trips. So family with their kids. And then when my kids were old enough, lots of trips to Disneyland Paris. Yeah, so many trips to Disney World. I think we stayed in pretty much all of the on-site hotels, either on work trips or family trips, been on several Disney cruises, stayed in a lot of the on-site hotels at Universal as well, in villas, in condos. So yeah, I think we've done pretty much all of it. How about you? Obviously, you're based at Disneyland Paris, so you've been there. Well, I'm sure you have definitely lost count of the amount of times you've been there.
I couldn't even begin to tell you how many times I've been here. I was a cast member for 2 years at Disneyland Paris. So I worked at Disney Village in the Disney store, which was the second biggest store in the resort after Emporium. This is before World of Disney. So it's a really, really busy store. It was great because you were inside the Disney Magic, but without being in the park. So it still made it special when you went in the park. So I was there for, I think, just over a year, maybe sort of 15 months. And then I moved to Legend de Hollywood, which is the big store on the left-hand side in Studio One. And that's a really cool store to work in. One, it was a really nice people. There was a great atmosphere because it was when the studios part was just sort of getting going. So you almost felt like you kind of like the underdog. You had to be extra friendly and special because you didn't have the castle and didn't have, it was before the Tower of Terror opened. So you had to kind of go out of your way to make it an extra magical day because there wasn't as much to do in the park as there was in the main park. I've worked in every single land in the park, and I think I've worked in every hotel. When you work at Disney store, could it have the most amount of cast members? If other stores needed extra people, you could volunteer to go and work in other stores. And I would put my hand up to go sort of work in different ones. So,
well, that must have been quite fun.
It was great. But you do kind of notice that the music, I'm quite good now. I don't hear background noise when I'm places because I've learned to sort of tune it out. But you realize that the loops on sort of Main Street in Fantasyland, especially, are quite short. They're not that long. Whereas the music loop in Studio One is actually quite long. And then during the winter, you had the band in Studio One as well. So it got sort of broken up and interspersed.
As much as you love Disney music, both all day, every day, even that must, you can have too much of a good thing.
Well, I do find now if I've been in the park, there's certain background loops that then, even though I don't hear them whilst I'm there, they get stuck in my head. So the Discoveryland one gets stuck in my head a little bit.
And of course, you've been to all of the Disney parks around the world.
Yes, I was lucky enough. I'd been to, obviously, Disneyland Paris tons of times, even before as a cast member. Been to Orlando quite a few times. And then I went to California. And then the opportunity came up to go and travel around Asia for 4 weeks. And I thought, well, you know what's in Asia? There's free Disney resorts. So I shall base it around there. So I flew into Hong Kong. It's tiny, but it's really nice. And yes, it is small, but it is sort of perfectly formed in a way. It's kind of different to the other parks. It was very, very quiet. The food was really nice as well, is what I remember most about it. Mystic Manor was absolutely amazing. It's worth going to Hong Kong, just gone Mystic Manor. Then I flew to Thailand, had a week in Thailand. Then I flew to Shanghai. And then from Shanghai, I flew over to Tokyo. And then also whilst I was in Tokyo, went down to Osaka and had a couple of days down there to go to Universal Japan as well.
Gosh, well, you really did tick off a lot in that trip then.
Yes, I managed to get through quite a lot of theme parks. I think pretty much most of the days I was on that trip, I was traveling in a theme park or a little bit on the beach as well in Thailand.
I've been to Disneyland California a few times and also the Universal parks in Hollywood. And I mean, Disneyland California, I loved. I think the main reason I loved it so much is it's the original park. It's really lucky, stayed in two of the on-site hotels there, had an amazing view to be able to watch the World of Color show in the evening, stayed in the Grand Californian, which has a view over the park and the special entrance into the park as well. But it is tiny compared to going to Disney World.
Feel small compared to Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, and the main thing I couldn't get over when I walked up Main Street is the castle. It's just so tiny.
It's very, very small. And it's just full of locals as well. I remember hearing constantly people in the queues going, oh, should we go on Space Mountain? No, we did that last weekend. Should we go on Splash Mountain? Oh, yeah, we haven't done that for a few weeks. To them, it's somewhere to go in the afternoons. One of my friends who's a cast member here, he started off in California. He's from near the Anaheim kind of area. So he started off as a cast member there and then moved over to Paris via Tokyo. You know, they were annual pass holders as kids. So they would go on a Friday night after school. They would go down, they would go get some fried chicken and they'd go on a couple of rides. And that would be their Friday evening.
Yeah, you do get so many locals in Disneyland in California. So the weekends can be quite a lot busier, whereas the weeks can be relatively quiet if you're outside of the school holidays. The other thing I found amazing there was the on-site hotels, quite how close they are to the park.
Yes, well, you're pretty much inside them, aren't you?
Yeah, you can see into the parks from some of the off-site hotels. And I think with Disney World, because it is so much bigger, and you know Disneyland Paris as well, you're on their own site, so you're in that Disney bubble. Whereas in California, you have got a lot of other stuff right on top of it.
Yes. I noticed that as well. I knew it was smaller. I didn't realize actually how close everything was to everything and how close it was to the outside world. It's such an amazing park and it's got some amazing, unique rides like the Cars ride. Did you go on Cars ride?
No, we didn't. It was just opening. So we saw all the kind of mock-ups and things, but it hadn't actually opened Cars Land last time we were there.
Oh, the Cars ride is absolutely, Radiator Springs, absolutely amazing. Absolutely brilliant. Did you go on Indiana Jones?
Yes, I did. Yeah, no, I love that.
I loved Indiana Jones. I went on it so many times when I went to Japan. They've got a copy of it over there. It's obviously all in Japanese, but it doesn't really make much difference. And because you stand out a little bit as being the only non-Japanese person, the cast members get to know, oh, back again. You've come back.
Back again.
I was there on my own. So I was going through single rider where it was possible. So I went through single rider a few times and went, oh, back again. For one time, he actually gave me the entire carriage to myself as opposed to fitting me into something. She went, oh, it's fine. You've been on so many times. You can have your own.
Well, no doubt we'll be talking all about those parks in future shows. As well as hearing from us, we have lots of guests planned. People who are Disney and Universal fans like us. Also some of our travel partners, so people who run the hotels and other attractions. Also, we want to talk about things beyond Disney. So maybe places that you can twin with a trip to Orlando. Talk about the things that are nearby, things to do beyond the parks. And also let us know things that you'd like us to talk about. So all our contact details are in the show notes. If there are any things that you'd like to hear about, then please do let us know.
2020 was a pretty rubbish year, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Unfortunately, we did spend a lot of time cancelling holidays rather than booking them.
Of course, that means that it gives us hope and things to look forward to in 2021. What kind of things are you looking forward to, Amanda?
Well, the main thing I'm looking forward to is being able to get back into a Disney park, of course. Disney World's open at the moment, and it's really great to see people out there enjoying the parks, even if we can't do that. But I am a little bit jealous and wish I was there too.
Yes, and Disneyland Paris is due to reopen on the 13th of February, so just in time for the UK school holidays.
I'm sure you'll be back there as soon as it's open, won't you?
Yes, I've already booked my days with my pass to get into the park, so I'll be doing Facebook Lives and taking lots of pictures and videos to let you know what's going on within the park.
But once we are back, there is a lot to look forward to next year. So in Paris, there's lots going on there.
Yes, so the main thing that's going to be opening next year is Hotel New York, the Art of Marvel. So this is a 100 million euro refurbishment of Disney's Hotel New York, which was always one of my favorite hotels anyway. It was something a bit different compared to your usual Disney hotel, and now it's been marvelized. So it's going to be based on the art of Marvel as opposed to the characters itself. So it's not going to be like you're not landing in Wakanda or something like that. You're celebrating the style and the ambience within a New York vibe. It's a really kind of cool way of experiencing Marvel. Now, the great thing is you're still going to be able to meet the characters. And until the Marvel Land opens in the Walt Disney Studios Park, it's going to be the only place to meet characters. And you have to be staying at that hotel as well. So no sneaking in, I'm afraid. You have to be staying at this hotel if you want to meet, you know, people like Spider-Man and Captain America at the moment.
I mean, I've stayed in the Hotel New York before the refurb several times, and it was my probably favorite place to stay at Disneyland Paris. In a great location, isn't it? Right next to Disney Village, really easy walking distance into the parks. And now it's going to have this Marvel overlay. It is going to be so popular.
I think it's going to be the most popular hotel. I think there's 495 rooms off the top of my head there. So it's not a particularly big hotel. It's probably the second smallest, I think, out of all. I think Disneyland Hotel is slightly smaller, or about the same amount of rooms. But when you consider that something like Sequoia's got about 1,000 rooms, so you're looking at half those amount of rooms, and it is going to be the most popular hotel. So if you want to go, and especially if you want to go at peak times like Christmas and summer holidays, book as soon as it becomes available. And we'll be letting everyone know on our Facebook page. And we already have a massive waiting list of people who want to book for this hotel. So if you do want to be added to the waiting list, please get in contact with us using the information on the show notes.
Yeah, subscribe to the newsletter, because then we'll be sending details out straight away. And as you say, we have, I think I'm the top of that waiting list, though. Can we please make sure of that? I've got to be staying in that hotel as soon as it opens. It's amazing.
Yes, when I've been speaking to people in the know at Disney, they've said, look, we want to make sure when this opens, it is going to be an amazing experience you can't get anywhere else. We don't want to open it and it's only half done. We want it to be amazing. I saw some of the pictures of the swimming pool. Now, the swimming pool beforehand was quite nice, but you're going to just want to spend a couple of hours just chilling out by the swimming pool, which you don't normally do at Disneyland Paris. You're in the parks. But I think with the way it's now done with the hotel, you're just going to want to go and do that. There's also a drawing academy where you can learn how to draw Marvel characters. So that's really cool, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And they're going to have all this artwork on display as well.
Yeah. And there's so many which have been commissioned just for the hotel. So there's the Marvel artists over in America have been busy, hard at work, creating all this artwork uniquely for the hotel. So you're not going to be able to see this anywhere else in the world.
Yeah. As soon as it opens, be getting booked to go and stay there.
Now, did you see the Skyline Bar?
I did, yes.
So beforehand, they did have a bar. It was downstairs by the reception, but they're going to be having a bar upstairs. But it's going to look like you've got these views, not over Lake Disney, but over New York. And not just over any New York, over Tony Stark's New York. So don't be surprised if you see certain man made of metal flying past.
Oh, that would be amazing. Yeah, we definitely need to get that on the list. One of the things I'm really looking forward to for next year is the Ratatouille ride opening at Disney World. It is my very, very favorite, not only my favorite ride at Disneyland Paris, it's my favorite Disney ride in any of the parks. So I mean, I've said this before, I kind of probably am a bit more towards Disney World than Disneyland Paris. But when I go to Disney World, that is one of the rides that I miss, and it'll be there. Yeah, so Remy's Ratatouille Adventure will be located in the France Pavilion in Epcot. So that's in the World Showcase part of Epcot. And it's going to be exactly the same ride as you can find in Disneyland Paris. So if you've been on that before, it will be just the same ride. From what we see, it's all open and ready to go, isn't it?
Pretty much. I think they're just finishing off. When Disney launch a ride, they go through a test and adjust period, which can last up to sort of 3 months, where the ride's handed over from the builders, from Imagineers, over to operations. What they do over here in Paris is they're going to have different operating procedures because of local customs and laws compared to over in Orlando. So things like evacuations. So they need to practice that 100 million times to make sure they're getting it right. There'll be people from Paris that have flown over to help, but yes, it's going to be pretty much exactly the same ride, but I love it. I mean, it's one of those things, it's really nice to get a ride from Paris cloned in the States as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah. And I think it's one for everybody. I'm not so much for the thrill rides, but this, I mean, it does spin you around quite a bit. You've got your 3D glasses on, so you've got the film portion of it as well, but you can, all ages can go on it. So it's very inclusive.
I don't think it's even a height restriction. So you can take babies onto it. I remember taking my friend's kids onto it. I think he was 3 or 4 years old. Never seen the film before. Absolutely loved it. It's his favourite film now.
A great film and yeah, really, really great ride. And how about over at Universal?
Well, you said you don't like thrill rides, and you won't be going on to this one. So this is the Jurassic World Velocicoaster, and this is opening in summer 2021. It's a new species of roller coaster. Now, they do roller coasters really well over at Universal. From what I can tell from the video, it's going to be launched. There's going to be some inversions. It's going to be like you're being chased by raptors. Hopefully it's not just screens. Hopefully there's actually going to be some movement. There's going to be some actual raptors going to be coming out at you. Have you done the raptor encounter?
Yes. Yeah. See, that's scary enough for me.
That's pretty scary, isn't it? Yeah, I've done that before as well. And my brother-in-law is a big bloke and he was looking at them quite scared as well. So hopefully something's going to be jumping out at you. But this looks like it's going to be an amazing addition to an already thrill-packed theme park.
Yeah, now if you want the big coasters and the big rides, Universal's the place to go, isn't it, rather than Disney. But I'm more one for holding the bags while the rest of my family are on the thrill rides. That's fine by me.
We can go together next time and you can hold the bags and I'll go on all the rides.
Yeah, that would be fine. This will give you a flavour of more the kinds of things I'm doing when I'm going to Disney, because one of the things I'm really looking forward to is the update of the Hall of Presidents. Because now,
obviously, 4 years.
Exactly. So as soon as a new president, for people who haven't seen it, Disney have a show. They have animatronics of every president there's been. And in modern times, the presidents, they record their own speech for it. So Donald Trump did that. Barack Obama did it. So now they'll be closing it down to add Joe Biden. Probably close at the beginning of 2021. But hopefully, unless they're going to do some major refurb to the ride, it'll be opening up again later in 2021 with Joe Biden as the president.
Yeah, very excited. I think I've only done it once. I think we went into it. I think it was raining. We flew into there and we sat down. And I remember thinking, do we have to stand up and salute him for that? I didn't know what the etiquette was.
In the pre-show area, in the waiting area, there's quite a lot of memorabilia from the presidency. So you've got clothes that presidents have worn, flags, sort of different historical artifacts. I'm really interested in things like that. The rest of my family, this is when they're off on the roller coasters, this is what I'm doing. Or if it's a particularly hot day, people want to cool down, maybe a little nap. My family tell me it's good for that as well. But I do enjoy it. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
Yes. I think they have a cast of the Liberty Bell, don't they? In the waiting area.
They do. Yeah. So it's located in the Magic Kingdom at Disney World in the Liberty Square area. It is easy to miss. You might have walked straight past it. So I won't blame you if you haven't seen it before, even if you have been to the Magic Kingdom.
Yes, very true. Now, across the other side of the world, it's not just in Orlando and in Paris that things are opening. Over in Universal Japan, they had the world's first Super Nintendo World opening, which was meant to open in 2020, but got delayed because of COVID. And it's going to be opening, I think it's the 4th of February 2021. So just in time for the Olympics.
And you've been to Universal there as well, haven't you?
Yes, it's a brilliant park. It's kind of almost in the center of Osaka. You do go outside slightly, but you wouldn't realize from the outside that there's a theme park. If you've been to the Orlando parks, it basically takes the best bits from the two Orlando parks and put them into one. And it's also got some rides which are no longer with us in Orlando Park. So it's still got Jaws, for example. So I went on that loads of times, still got Backdraft. So I went on those loads of times because there's something I couldn't do. And I went on the Spider-Man ride as well because I love that one. So they've made this Super Nintendo Land. Now, what Universal's great at is making interactive lands. So if you've ever been to Wizarding World of Harry Potter and you've bought a wand, you know by waving it that you can make the window displays move and things. It's in the sign swing in Diagon Alley and in Hogwarts. Well, they've done very similar things over in the Nintendo world, is if you have this sort of wristband and collect coins and things like that as if you were in a game, you can use your wristband to play in the game as well. And then the main star attraction is you're actually going to be in a game of Super Mario Kart. So I don't know about you, Amanda. I don't think I've actually ever played it, but it does look super cool. I don't know if you've seen the video of it.
I have seen the video of it, and I did used to play those games going back in time, and I'm really, okay. You know, all the old Nintendo games I love. And hopefully that ride is going to come to Orlando, isn't it? I mean, it's been delayed a little bit with everything, but they are talking that it will be over in Universal Orlando.
It is meant to at some point, whether it's going to go into the original park or whether it's going to be part of Epic Universe. So we don't really know at the moment, but like anything, they want to see how well it does in Japan. Japan is obviously the home of Nintendo, so it has to be open there first, doesn't it?
Yeah. So back over in Orlando, I am really looking forward to the new nighttime show at Epcot, Harmonious. It's like all the fireworks and things are not operating at the minute because of social distancing, but they are continuing with the work for Harmonious. We've seen pictures online of things being constructed in the lagoon. So hopefully once things are a little bit more back to normal, we'll have that brilliant new nighttime show.
It looks amazing, doesn't it? If you've seen the concept art for it.
I have seen it. Yeah. So we were talking a little bit about World of Color earlier at Disneyland California, and I think it's going to have that feel to it as well as the fireworks.
I've heard because there's big sort of showpieces in the center of the lake, which during the day might look a bit ugly. So what they're going to do is they're going to have fountains going off during the day on them to make them look a bit kind of prettier, because if not, it's just these big places to hold fireworks. At the moment with the old show, they'd come out on barges, but these are actually fixed in place.
Well, it's a huge space. It's a huge lake there in Epcot, isn't it? So to be able to have something going on there as well as the nighttime show would be great. And also at Disney World, something probably a bit more down your street again than mine, we've got the Tron roller coaster hopefully coming.
Yes. Now, I've been on this in Shanghai, and this was my highlight of that park. It's a fast roller coaster. You haven't just got the speed of it, but the fact that you're sat on like you would be on like a motorbike, it's just a completely unique and different way of riding a roller coaster compared to what you would normally do. You get launched out, you go over all these people, and then you go into the show building. And then I remember seeing Tron as a kid, but I don't really sort of know, remember the story much. But it's all about being inside this computer and being inside this super highway and being part of this race. And it's really cool, an amazing ride, and definitely something I'm really, really glad that they're bringing over to Walt Disney World.
It will be incredibly popular. I mean, the ride videos, you know, the current ride are incredible. I mean, the construction has been going on for quite some time. I mean, I've seen it probably the last two visits to Disney World, I've seen it. So if you are on the People Mover in particular, when you're riding that, you can see the building site. And I mean, we're really hoping it's going to be ready for next year, aren't we? I mean, it was meant to be for the 50th anniversary. I suppose we'll just have to wait and see.
Hopefully 2021, if not, I'd guess early-ish 2022, maybe April 2022 at a push, but I'd be hopeful.
Yeah, we're saying next year, aren't we? We're saying we're looking forward to it for next year. So yeah. People listening, please make it happen for next year.
I'm sure people at Imagineering are listening right now.
Yeah.
Make their efforts to make sure it opens on time.
Another thing I'm really looking forward to is over at Epcot. I mean, lots of things they were developing at Epcot that unfortunately have been delayed, and this is one of them. So, you know, really hoping it is going to be open next year, is the new Space 220 restaurant.
This does look amazing.
So built by Mission Space, so people are familiar with that ride. It is a really immersive experience by the sounds of it. So you'll go in an elevator and feel like you're going up to space. Out of the viewports, you'll be able to look across Epcot as you travel high above the planet.
It's a different way of getting to a restaurant, isn't it? Beats going up the stairs.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if we've seen what the food's going to be like. Maybe it will be some space-themed food.
I know they've brought in one of the top chefs from one of the other Disney restaurants to oversee the menu because they want to make it not just an experience. They want to make it so people will go there for the experience, of course, but also they're actually going to go there and really enjoy the food.
Being in Future World, there aren't, I don't know, I don't really like a lot of the restaurants in Future World at Epcot. So it will be nice to have, you know, a big draw and, you know, a really standout restaurant there.
I mean, you don't like the chicken nuggets at Electric Umbrella.
No.
If you want chicken nuggets, you go to Hollywood Studios. You don't go to Epcot for chicken nuggets.
No, I do. I like Sunshine Seasons. You know, I really like there. But for a table service restaurant, I don't think there is. I mean, obviously you've got an awful lot of choice in the World Showcase. Some amazing restaurants there. But in Future World, a bit lacking on the table service restaurants, I think.
What that also means is it will free up those spaces for those people who would normally go and eat around World Showcase. So it actually is going to free up some spaces in sort of Norway and Italy, where some of the table service restaurants get full up pretty quickly.
And also, still on the space theme, I know something that you're really looking forward to is the new Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. We're not allowed to call it a hotel.
It's not a hotel.
No.
It's going to be an immersive experience from the start to the beginning. So you don't feel like you're in Orlando. As far as you're concerned, you are on a spaceship in the middle of your own Star Wars story. Everything is going to interact with you. You're going to have missions and things to do whilst on board the spaceship. So it's not just a place that you go to dump your bags and go into the theme parks. You're going to be spending your time on board the Star Cruiser, and you're going to be within your own Star Wars story. Now, there's a lot of patents that have been thrown around that people say, oh, potentially this is for that. So it's robots that can interact with you without any human assistance. So, you know, in Star Wars where you've got the little droids on the, like on the Death Star, that ones that go along on the floor, look like remote control cars. You're going to get things like that. You're going to have like R2 sort of style robots coming up to you and interacting with you. Things that it's just going to blow your mind. It's not a cheap place to stay, and it is a completely immersive experience. Think of it as like going on a cruise ship. You don't go on a cruise ship just to go and fall asleep and just to somewhere to lay your head. You go on there for the full experience, and that's kind of what it's going to be like without the ports. Actually, I think one of the ideas is that you port and you go to Batu.
It's being built right near Hollywood Studios, isn't it? So you'd be able to get into Galaxy's Edge and go and experience that.
Yeah. So with any luck, you also means that you don't have to get a boarding pass to Rise of the Resistance.
That would be a perk, wouldn't it? It's
worth staying there just to get a boarding pass to Rise of the Resistance to make sure you actually get onto it. And then I don't know whatever things they got planned, but it's not going to be a cheap experience, but it's going to be an experience that you are going to remember for the rest of your life. I mean, I can remember some hotels I stay in, but a lot of hotels you forget. And it's not a hotel. It is an experience. Keep calling it a hotel.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be so popular. I mean, they are still saying it's going to open next year, and I really, really hope it does. Ever since they talked about it, we've had people getting in touch saying, how do I book it? And they're, well, no, it's not going to be open for another couple of years. And, you know, now say, hopefully it will be available to book quite soon.
You'd like to think so. I think once they've got a rough opening date, then they will start letting the bookings. But what they don't want to do is make sure that people have booked and then they can't actually go.
We've done that before with Hotel New York. Yeah, we're not doing that again.
So with any luck, they've learned their lesson from Hotel New York, and they're actually going to stick to an opening date. The construction's still been going ahead during COVID.
Yeah, and everything you hear coming out of it is that this is their top priority. They want to get this sorted and finished. So
there is space at the back of this studio expansion that has got basically a big X to it saying Star Wars non-hotel for Disneyland Paris as well. So if it all goes well over there, we will be getting a version of it over here as well.
Oh, that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
So, yeah, it'd be amazing to have something, again, to be able to go to something and add it on. A lot of people go and do the Disney cruise at the end. They might go and do like a 3-night cruise. And I think it's probably not going to be as cheap as Disney cruise, but it's not going to be that much more expensive from what I've sort of seen the prices. But then you're going to have an experience that no one in the world is going to be able to have. It's such a unique thing that you can only do here. So,
yeah.
I would love to go and do.
Definitely, I would do this too. I know so many people who want to do it. And the big one from next year to finish off is the 50th anniversary at Disney World.
Of course, yes.
Unfortunately, a lot of the things that have been planned are going to have to be shelved, but they're still going to make a big deal about it, aren't they?
You're still going to be there for this amazing celebration where there's going to be so many new rides and shows opening up that it's worth going just for that.
Yeah, I mean, the anniversary is in October 2021, but I mean, they're not just going to have it then, are they? I mean, if we look back at other celebrations that Disney's had, they like to drag it out.
18 months is generally how long most birthday parties at a Disney resort last for. People say the Queen is a bit excessive having two birthdays. Disney know how to stretch out a party.
Yeah, which is great because we all want to be able to go and enjoy it and we can't all go at the same time. So it's good that it'll be over an extended period. So they haven't announced exactly what it's going to be, but based on other celebrations, I mean, and 50, it's a big deal, isn't it? So they're going to want to celebrate it big. So there is loads to look forward to in 2021. We just have to get everywhere open and safe for us to visit very soon. But I don't know about you, but I'll be there as soon as I possibly can be.
Yes, me too. Well, of course, I'll be at Disneyland Paris as soon as it opens. But I am also looking forward to being able to travel and go to these other Disney parks. And Tokyo and Osaka are definitely up on my list of places to go back to next year as well. Thank you very much for listening to us. We hope you found that really enjoyable and useful. Please make sure you hit the subscribe button to make sure you don't miss any of our future episodes.
If you need any help planning your next Disney or Universal holiday, please get in touch. You can find all our contact details on the website, fairytaleholidays.co.uk, or you can find all of the information in the show notes.